Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, heroes, Pete LePage, Justin Dunn, and Salvan!
What's up?
Hey guys, welcome to Comic Book Club! Woo! I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Woo! I am Pete.
And that's our man of the...
Booth
man.
Woo man.
Yeah.
Woo man.
Boo man?
Boob man.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a lot of comic book stuff we're going to have to talk about today. A lot of comic book stuff.
So much.
But first, Game of Thrones was
Who's watching Game of Thrones?
This week. How fucked up was that episode? It was crazy. You watched it, right?
Yeah, I did. I love it. I don't know. It all seemed pretty normal to me. That's sort of like my regular life.
Every time I try to watch it, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like tits and swords. I played that
with some kids when I was in high school.
What?
Wow. She lost. I was actually
it was Dungeons and Dragons.
I was a smoke baby as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Oh, okay.
So that's why it seemed totally normal.
Did you just say that just makes no sense to me?
No, I said that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It does make a lot of sense. By the way, for your birthday, I got you that staff with the antlers at the end. How'd that work out for you?
Great.
This is we are.
Why'd you bring that up right now? I'll explain to you guys afterwards. And if anyone wants to come check it out. My home address is 221 Columbia Street, Brooklyn, New York. 11231. Or you can just mail me a picture or something.
A picture?
I don't know.
What's going on here?
I don't know. I think we lost track of this. Guys, I'm very excited about the show, and I'm very excited about the guests that we have tonight. One is an editor for Marvel Comics. You know his work on Amazing Spider-Man, The Punisher, Daredevil, and more. The other is on Saturday Night Live and has been in a billion movies. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Wacker and Bill Hader!
Yeah! Have a seat.
Nice.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Hey, no
problem. Hold that a little bit closer to your face. Really casual with the microphone. Yeah, and breathe as heavy as possible.
This is great. No, that's really going to work.
Yeah. You sound like NPR.
Yeah, like Terry Gross. Like,
yeah,
they do that on NPR where they're like,
anybody love NPR?
Yeah, let's go crazy.
Terry Gross is an angel.
Whoa.
I've said that many times.
Yeah.
Bill, we were just talking about Game of Thrones. I don't know if you heard our amazing...
I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before the show.
Yeah, that guy, the kid who plays Joffrey, he's never going to be able to do anything for the rest of his life. He's going to come in for an audition, they're going to be like, oh shit, it's Joffrey.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Are you going to rape me now? Yeah. Like, what, are you going to order me to get, like, you know, like, yeah.
He might be okay if he brings a crossbow into the audition.
Yeah. That was messed up, man.
Yeah.
That show, yeah, it's about just white, pimply asses being hit really hard.
Well, that's the book. The book is mostly pictures of white, pimple asses.
Yeah. It's just, I was like, my God. But yeah, that guy, he's going to have to do the Anthony Michael Hall, like, Johnny B. Goode thing where he got, like, really buff and you didn't know it was him. And he gets, like, a beard or whatever. But still, you're going to be like, wait, look at his eyes. Oh, that's fucking Joffrey. Yeah. That guy scares me. Yeah.
Let's talk about comics a little bit. So we were also chatting before the show. You were saying that you've really gotten not just back into comics, but even more so into comics because of digital stuff and because of the iPad, right?
Yeah, totally. Me and Seth Meyers have gotten pretty much the entire writing staff at SNL into comic books because of the iPad thing. You know what I mean? Like, it really is. Like, we're just like, because there's no excuse. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like just there. You're like, oh, cool. There's a new lock and key. It's like, oh, right here. You know, it's like, and now it's really cool. Like, everybody's talking about it, and, you know, it becomes like, now it's like part of our, like, when we do rewrites and, you know, we have our Monday kind of, you know, pitch meeting, it becomes kind of part of it now. It used to be like, you know, you talk about, like, what movies you've seen, what TV shows, and now we're like, hey, did anybody read the new Batman thing? You know what I mean? It becomes now part of that.
You know? I know you have 3 Hawkeye sketches on this week's episode, right?
Yeah. We do.
It's intense.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Tried to get a sweet tooth one in. Didn't really work out.
We were talking about this the last time you were on the show. Has there been any progress in, like, really getting nerd stuff into SNL and comic book stuff in there?
No.
Come
Come on, man. What are you doing? Yeah.
No.
I to blame him.
You look at, I mean, our audience isn't necessarily, you know, the demographic for it sometimes. Our actual live audience. It's like you go out to the live audience, and a lot of times you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's like my parents' friends. You know, when it's like a Hawkeye sketch is not going to fly.
Get it?
Don't you get it?
See? Well,
those kind of people love, like, One Direction, though.
They loved One Direction, yeah. The one sketch that people really liked that we were shocked was this one that it's this bit that Fred Armisen wrote this thing called The Californians, which was this sketch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where we were all, like, these Californian people giving directions, and it was a soap opera. But that's a bit that Fred and I have done for, like, 7 years, where we'll be just these California guys, and it's the what we find funny about it is they're never giving you directions; they're explaining how they're gonna get home.
Yeah,
so it's like, yeah, man, I'm gonna just get on like Sunset, and then I'm just gonna take a left on Laurel Canyon, like go up to Laurel Canyon, right, and go, you know, and it's like this whole thing. And then he made it a soap opera, which I never would have thought to have done. And then me and Kristen Wiig started laughing during the sketch because Fred on air decided to change his character, and the whole time he was going like, guys, what are you doing here? That's what he would say. And on air he went, what are you doing here? It's online. If you watch it, Chris and I both just go and we totally break. And Josh Brolin was really funny in the sketch too.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier if you were talking about Hawkeye though.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. It would be better if Hawkeye was in there.
Is that a rule at Marvel? Everything's funnier with Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Everything, we try to add Hawkeye to anything that's got a low point, and that picks it right back up.
Throw Hawkeye in there.
Now, you guys worked on a comic book together a couple of years ago called The Short Halloween. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Woo. Seth Meyers, yeah, Seth Meyers, and Mr. Kevin Maguire.
Kevin Maguire.
Who's here?
A secret special guest.
Someone booed him.
Right? No. He was booing himself.
Boo himself. I think he booed himself, which is about everything you need to know about Kevin.
Boo, fuck that guy.
Yeah, but we met at, a Christmas party that Marvel had put on.
Yeah, it's true.
We started talking, had a quick lunch.
Yeah, and then Seth and I wrote.
Lunch?
Yeah, we and then Seth and I wrote this. It was a walking lunch.
Who's got the time?
It was a walking lunch. And then most of that, my part of that was written while I was playing George Custer in Night at the Museum 2. So I was dressed as George Custer in Vancouver in a little trailer with my laptop.
Which is
writing
also
a Spider-Man
how Wade,
comic.
Wade writes Daredevil in the same way. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about some of the books that you're working on now, Steve. So you have a lot of stuff that you're working on. Right now you're in the middle of the Omega Effect crossover. Those who don't know about that, what's going on there?
It's a three-part crossover with Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Punisher, where Daredevil has... the MacGuffin is Daredevil has this device that has the secrets of the Marvel Universe on it. And he's trying to escape the mega crime families, Hydra and AIM and all these high-powered criminal families. And the Punisher and Spider-Man, before he gives up the device, they decide to have one night where they take down all these criminals. So that's going on right now. And we've sold out of the first two parts and go back to second print, and it's going really well.
Yeah, you've been a really big proponent of pushing street level at Marvel.
As you can see...
That?
Yeah.
No one is more street.
You're straight street.
I was a little worried you guys were maybe a gang. When
I speak
on stage.
The language of the people.
Nothing says street like a button down.
Yeah. You hold your mic like a real gang member.
Exactly.
Like Liberace or. Yeah.
I'm on the mic. So street. Show, it's like, ridiculous.
Tell me about it.
I think it's more that I lord over the solo character books. Who inevitably work the street. We've had books. I got Scarlet Spider. That takes place in Houston. We had Moon Knight, which is in L.A. So
yeah, but it's the streets of Houston. It's the streets
the
of L.A.
There are streets everywhere. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Could take that book almost anywhere.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but there are streets everywhere. That's good.
All your books are connected, bro.
So, yeah, it's those solo characters, and we got a new Hawkeye book coming out, and Captain Marvel, of course.
The comedy book.
Hawkeye's
funny book.
In all the other comics.
goof book for Hawkeye. What the?
You also have Captain Marvel is coming up, right?
That's right.
Which you've been very excited about, I hear.
Yeah, Captain Marvel is Ms. Marvel. We've changed the name. We've covered her ass. And
interesting choice.
I used to edit the book years ago, and I tried very hard to change the name then, but we couldn't because of various movie things and things going on. But this time, with Axel's help and Tom Brevoort's help, we got the change through. Joe was a big proponent, so now Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel. We're really hitting the idea that she's a pilot. I'm not into an insecure Ms. Captain Marvel. She's been written very insecure in the past, and she's this beautiful blonde woman who can fly and shoot contrivance beams out of her hands. I don't imagine she's insecure for a moment.
What's a contrivance beam?
You know, her beams, I've looked, they just came out of nowhere. Like, she shoots beams out of her hands.
So she contrives them? Is what
they
you're saying?
Burn. It's like a very 70s comic book thing. Everybody can shoot beams out of their hands, and you don't know what they do. Sometimes they blow people back. Sometimes they explode things.
And sometimes they disintegrate things.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, of all the powers I hoped to have as a kid, shooting beams out of my hands was like the number one.
The best.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd stand there
the
always
best.
And be like, I can kind of feel it.
Yeah. See, I was right the opposite. Now, actually, I would be walking home from school, I would stop, and then I would jump in the air hoping I would fly.
What happened next?
Landed. More often than not, I landed.
Wow. What was the number one superpower you guys imagined you have as kids? Or now?
Editor at Marvel, right?
Yeah. Editor at Marvel. Yeah. No, I did the flying thing a lot, but no one was around. I
did
look.
It in crowds of bullies. It's a terrible idea. It's horribly beaten.
Hey, bullies, watch me.
I figured their hate would allow me to float up to the air, but nope, didn't work.
I don't think I did it.
You never wanted a superpower?
No. Well, that's stupid.
Cool. Wow, real level-headed kid.
Great, thanks for coming on our show, bully.
Yeah. We were talking, Bill's not much of a comic book fan, so I don't know
that's true.
How this is going to go.
Yeah, it's true.
You just wanted like a
solid
bank
account. Matt Fraction pointed me out one time. He's like, you're not a real comic book fan. And I was like, oh, you're right.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, was that when you were hanging about a flagpole?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to fly away, and I was like, yeah, fly away, motherfucker.
Yeah. Wow. Still one thing that stopped him.
Guys, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
All right. Deal with the stack is we have each made a pick, some particular comic book that we liked this week, and we're going to go to bat for it. We'll do Pete's pick first, which is Wonder Woman number 8 from DC Comics. Yeah. To you guys. Pete, what'd you like about this book?
Oh, man. Spoiler, guys. Wonder Woman dies.
Yeah.
It's all over.
You can look at it.
Oh.
You don't have to show it off.
I thought it was like The Price is Right. Yeah. Kind of like.
Yeah, you're here to work. You're here to work, Wacker.
Vanna White.
You're actually the pretty one on stage right now.
Oh, yeah. There she is. She's dead.
Yep.
Well, this DC Comics is incredibly racist. I wouldn't buy this.
Nice.
Wow.
Jesus. So speak to the racism.
So, I'm not going to speak to the racism.
That makes you racist.
Yeah. No, I don't think this comic is racist.
Wow.
A racist would say that.
Yeah.
All right.
What's that say about you, pal?
Yeah, I guess you're a monster. Anyways, this comic, since the relaunch, has really been amazing. I love the way Wonder Woman is drawn, and I feel like they do a good job of putting her and kind of new, cool adventures and making it fresh. And I feel like when she got shot, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How's she going to get out of this one, guys? Shit. I don't know how she's going to do it.
Maybe she won't.
Probably not. She's a ghost.
8 issues in. She gets, it was Golden Guns. Any fan of the James Bond Super Nintendo game would know, or Nintendo 64 game would know that you will die. You can't stop him with no matter what bracelets you have on.
Golden Gun, one shot.
Bingo.
Yep.
Wait, are you talking about GoldenEye?
Yeah.
The GoldenEye ruined a friendship in college.
Whoa.
Nice what job.
Sorry. Oh, geez,
this
tragic.
This guy, Steve, he knew where you would appear every place. And so when you would play, and he would show up where you would appear and shoot you. So, and you die, and you go, headshot. Like that.
Sounds like a
and it ruined a friend. I was like, I can't hang out with you anymore.
Dude, you're shaking right now. You all right?
It made me so mad.
Yeah.
It's making you so mad.
It's making me so mad.
Justin, what do you think
about
this
book?
Sorry
to bring up. Well, that's the thing, is that Wonder Woman goes through the same process. She appears and gets shot right away.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yes.
Otherwise, I've been like, there's a lot of real mythological, and it's very specific. I mean, it's not really super new reader friendly, so I'm surprised they sort of went with it, but I really like it.
I really like this issue a lot, too. I mean, it's great to have Cliff Chiang back on the art for this one. His art is just great, superb across the board. I think really almost nobody draws women the way he does in comics. He makes just the features and the physicality entirely different from anybody else.
Keep going.
Wonder Woman looks like a Wonder Woman here. What?
Keep going. Keep describing the features.
They got these curves that just don't stop.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah. You have such an erotic voice.
Do you want me to get the club with the antlers?
Yeah. No, I have my own.
And the crossbow.
Too much?
Yeah.
This is a great book. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on with Justin's pick, which was The Punisher, number 10.
Yeah.
Right.
This book is also deeply racist, as Steve Wacker knows.
Yeah, this one is completely clean.
What did you think about this book, Justin?
I love this crossover. And like, I would have chosen this whether or not you were here, Steve, so don't be weird about this. But I feel like this is a classic.
I wouldn't have.
Yeah. No, Pete, the biggest Punisher fan... Like, around.
In the world.
In the world. Like, he's a violence... He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
Loves the Punisher. He's a little bit down on the Punisher. And I think we want to have a little head-to-head, a tete-a-tete here.
Wow, that's a real setup. I just... big fan of the Punisher, but then drawing him like a 16-year-old boy anime styles is a little weird for me.
Anime style?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anime?
No, he hasn't. He thinks it's gritty with a lot of bandages.
We did. Marco Cicchetto, the artist, did make a choice with this book to stop drawing Frank as 65 years old.
Right.
A little more.
Yeah.
Not a lot of 65-year-old men
reading.
Because
all the chase scenes with the wheelchair and the walker was tough.
Right.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, we wanted to youth him without saying anything about it. We just sort of hit the ground running with it.
I think it's great. And this, so like I was saying, it's a classic sort of team-up. Reminds me of like the Round Robin from back in the Amazing Spider-Man days. Yeah.
That is.
In your face, jerk.
I've been doing the show for 5 years and I don't get that reference.
Round Robin was a 6-part crossover in Amazing Spider-Man. Sidekick's Revenge, The Punisher, Moon Knight, Amazing Spider-Man, like a bunch of other randos.
Randos?
That was not the name of a super team, as far as I know.
That'd be a great super team, the randos.
The randos.
We're the randos. Where are you guys going?
Yeah. We'll never tell.
Hey, we're the randos. All right. Fuck. All right. We're not the randos anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I could say the Vibranium Vendetta also. That's what it also reminds me of.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, yeah, it's a great crossover.
I think this is really great as well. I disagree with Pete on this. I think the art is great in this, and one of the things that really sucked me in about it, I haven't been a big Punisher fan, and I really enjoy the series a lot. It's dark and gritty, but in just the right way, with a good deal of emotion at the same time.
Yeah, Punisher has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, it's not his girlfriend.
Yes,
but yes. There is a woman in the comic, but
there's a friend who's his girl.
I mean,
she wears the same shirt.
Yeah, he makes her a shirt.
They're dating.
He makes her a shirt. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she doesn't last talk
issue.
Anymore.
There's fair enough. Entire last issue was like, do I got a shelf in the medicine cabinet or what's going on?
Yeah, no, it's real bitchy. Yeah. Real fight between the two of them.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I was never a huge Punisher fan either. I love Garth's run.
Amazing.
It's one of the best.
Jason Aaron's run on Punisher Max is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, those Jason are some Aaron's of the best good. Stories.
I know that. Jason Aaron.
I know
Scalp.
That.
I like that.
Yeah,
I know.
Scalp's
a great book.
So this sort of solved that for me. Great. A big part of the Punisher comics for years have been he keeps a running journal of everything that goes on in his life, and he's like a teenage girl.
He's journaling.
He's just talking about everything.
Yeah.
He's journaling.
He is journaling a lot.
Yeah.
He's more journaling.
I just couldn't
journal.
Believe that a guy... I just had trouble...
Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Trouble with the guy that was in the stories, imagining him sitting down. All right. Let me just relax.
He's like, where's my heart-shaped key?
Here's what I did today.
I can't quite find it.
So what Greg is trying to do is to get us out of the Punisher's head a little bit, and it's more about the people reacting to
it. I would almost like to see that. Dear Diary, I ripped a man's guts out through through his stomach, and then
he like me?
Yeah. Right.
No, yeah.
Manucci is so stupid.
Am I mean?
Yeah. I think people think I'm mean.
Am I mean?
All right, let's move on with the last pick, which is my pick, which is The Sixth Gun, number 21.
Oh, sure, the writer of Sixth Gun is
just
here.
A fan. Just a fan of Alex.
Yeah. Six Gun number 21 from Oni Press. This is a great, fantastic book if you're not reading it. It's a superb mix of Western gunfighting and horror. This issue, what I thought was particularly cool about it, it's entirely silent. I mean, that's a device we've seen a lot of times before, but I thought they used it really well. It's really blocked out well in terms of the action. And even if you've never read the book before, I really think you can actually jump in with almost any issue here because the characters are so clear and what's going on is so much fun. Well, what'd you guys think about that?
Well, I tell you what, I could have used some words.
Yeah, because I was like, who are these people? What are they doing? Yeah. Why are they keep switching hats? They keep shooting
and
each
then
other.
What's with all the guns?
There's a bunch of
two against one.
Yeah.
Boom.
Fight. Well, I just didn't know. Like, there are no words. And then so you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like a comic book is about.
It is powerful, though.
No, I want to hear what a comic book is about.
What's a good example of a wordless, like what's like the best version of the wordless comic?
The wordless comic?
I like the Reptile series. That was really
good. Oh, that was very good by Joe Kubert.
Yep.
I believe. Is that right?
I don't know.
But that didn't have words. It was about dinosaurs. It was a lot of herding. If you're a big fan of herding, check out Age of Dinosaurs.
Do you guys have a favorite silent comic book?
Oh, my God. There's a million of them.
I feel like it's like a lot of comics do it as like a special issue.
The Snake Eyes one.
Yeah, everybody loves that Snake Eyes one. Yeah. I hate G.I. Joe, so.
Oh, wow.
Fuck that Snake Eyes.
I don't care.
Wow.
You guys are never going to be friends.
Yeah. Wait, you've always hated G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
See, I was never allowed to
Even
watch it.
Even the cartoon as a kid?
I hated the cartoon.
What the
I don't care. Boom it.
I can't say I was a big fan of it. I liked it when that guy
overdubbed the PSAs.
Yeah. I liked when that guy overdubbed the PSAs a couple years ago. Those were funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, even the PSAs when I was a kid, I always was like,
sound.
That was the most interesting
thing. Who wants the bottom of the size machine? Don't. Bottom of size.
That was hilarious. Eric Fensler, was that his name? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Get the fuck off my fucking lung. Get off my eyes. Yeah.
That was so funny.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Yeah.
Let's just do this for the rest of the show. Good. This is great.
Yeah, that was funny, man.
But
holy
it was
shit.
Pretty random how it was like always a fire and then barbecue would be staying there and it'd be like, how'd the fire get started?
Well, that's what I love about it.
Yeah, sorry.
There was a G.I. Joe named Barbecue?
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, that was a great
really?
Hero. I always aspired to be like Barbecue.
Was he the cook?
And fly and be like Barbecue.
But yeah. Well, once I got over the flying thing, which is like 2 years ago, I was like, I'll be like Barbecue.
I always dreamed I could start a barbecue. And it came true one day. Yeah.
I never saw him start a barbecue. He was just always around one. So I just show up at people's parties. So you can barbecue's here! And the randos! Let's do this!
You can never prove that he was actually Barbecue.
You never knew. He looked the part, but that's circumstantial evidence, according to Law & Order and other cop shows.
Hey, Alex, what's your favorite silent comic?
Oh, boy. Wait, was the issue where Aunt May finds out that Spider-Man is Spider-Man, was that silent? No. Am I imagining that? Yeah, there was an upset issue. Bam!
Wait, then Spider-Man is... Peter Parker,
not the Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is Spider-Man.
What? Spider-Man is Spider-Man. Dumbest woman on the planet.
Enough is it. That's what it meant. It's like, you dummy. Jesus.
Yeah.
That one.
No one would talk to her. She was snubbed for a week.
That issue where Aunt May discovered tautologies.
Yeah. Whoa, deep ref.
Yeah.
Deep ref, Cypher.
Deep ref to English. Oh, Cypher. Thank you for finally calling me Cypher after all these years of the show.
Not a compliment.
That's it for the staff. All right,
you
guys.
You are the engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to keep it moving. Guys, let's move on with the next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman. What do you got for us today, Boothman?
Some questions.
Good.
Great.
It's working out really well.
Yeah. So this question is for Bill, but Steve can kind of...
He can speak.
I'll answer for Bill.
Okay, and it's from Chris D. from somewhere.
Good.
When are we getting a follow-up to the Short Halloween?
Oh, man.
It's almost like I asked that question myself.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, it's just when me and Seth have the time to figure out. We actually didn't have another follow-up to Short Halloween. We had a Daredevil idea.
We have
a Daredevil idea that actually it's like outlined. We just have to write it. So that'll happen, Steve.
All right.
Wow.
Kevin, we'd like to see that.
Yeah. Was it the medium-sized Easter?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
No one had to say it.
Oh, let's go to the next question. Please,
we actually, here's a little short Halloween story. Remember, we emailed Loeb.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make sure Jeff Loeb had written the long Halloween
right.
over at DC, which is like the highest selling trade. Batman trade or whatever.
Yeah, Jeff brings it up every time he says anything to anyone.
Is that true?
Yeah, pretty much.
Long Halloween, Commando Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf.
What'd you say?
Long Halloween.
What'd you say, Jeff?
He was fine with it.
He was totally cool, yeah.
We came up with it. I thought of Short Halloween as I was walking out to do a sketch. And I walked past Seth and I was like, Short Halloween? Is that dumb? Mm. And he was like, oh, no, I like it. Yeah, all right. Like, it was that fast.
Wow, you guys never stop working.
Yeah.
He called me during the show with the idea.
Really?
I remember that sketch.
Yeah. In the middle of the show, I was doing a sketch and I was like texting during it. What if
that sketch
mistaken
was okay.
identity? Yeah.
Let's go to the next question, please, Boothman.
Okay, this is
keep
from
moving.
This is from Pablo Escobar from South America.
Oh, wow. He's dead. Big fan of the show.
Justice League versus Doom Patrol. Who wins?
Oh, ooh. Definitely the Justice League.
Justice League, right?
I would say so.
I'm going to go with you guys.
I would prefer Doom Patrol one though.
Wait, are you saying we would win in that fight if we were like bystanders? If we
no, I think we'd all die, right? Fair I don't. Point. I mean, no, we would die.
But I,
if it's Danny the Street Doom Patrol,
yes,
I gotta
yes.
say Doom Patrol.
Oh.
I think that's a good answer. I'm going to allow it.
What? No. I'll allow it.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Wait. Are you? Who's in charge?
Me.
Nobody.
It's anarchy.
He's keeping
the next question. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
What comic book character is most ripe for parroting? And this is from Jordan from Forest Hills.
Ripe for parody. All of them? Is that a fair?
Yeah,
it's
not all of them.
It's all of them.
I mean, anything with a cape is. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, a lot of
them.
You
can always make fun of the cape. Is there any?
I mean, we'll probably try to do some sort of. I mean, I'm assuming there'll be some sort of Avengers thing on the show, or at least we'll try to write some sort of Avengers thing on the show. So we'll see.
Oh, squeak! Says the audience.
Is there any comic book character that's parody proof that you just can't make fun of?
I think Punisher is pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. No one's ever made fun of the Punisher.
Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool. Aquaman. Yeah. No one.
That's more like the set would be too hard at SNL for Aquaman.
Yeah. Bring out the tank.
Yeah. Deadpool's a pretty good one, or Ambush Bug. I don't think I'd want to see you did a hilarious parody of Ambush Bug.
Well, you can't parody a comedy of really anything, right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Because it's already comedy.
Nope.
Certain people aren't comic book fans, but they said what Animal Man was, they would be like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, that, even
and he takes the powers of animals around, I go,
it's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, and they would be like, all right.
Well, even reading this book, Animal Man book now, it's super serious. It's the art is sort of grim, but he'll be like, oh, I'm a bird right now. And I'm like, fuck you. You're just flying near a bird. How does that make sense?
I always fear our audience is people like you. That are just saying fuck you to us.
Well, but then I turn the page and spend $100 a week on comics. So. So cool. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, the art is really grim in that book.
Yeah.
It's so rough.
It's so much just meat and bones. It's eyes.
Is he Pugh? Is he drawing that book?
So
Travel Foreman?
Oh, Travel Foreman. Right.
Yeah. What a great name.
Travel Foreman?
Yeah, that's awesome.
He wasn't born with that name, I would bet you.
Mr. Foreman, what would you like to call your son? Travel. His name will be Travel.
Let's get the
and
last question.
Return to the wormhole and help our people.
Sorry.
Let's find the mead for Travel.
Sorry. Go ahead. I went someplace.
All right. This is from Joanna from Laverne, California. Why am I single? Am I weird?
Cool. Thanks for ending with a comic book question.
Yep.
Nope.
Aw.
No? You're saying no?
No, she's not weird.
Really? She'd ask this to a crowd of strangers.
At a comic book talk show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she came to the right place to prove that she isn't weird.
Oh, yeah. We're great about relationships on this show.
Yeah.
Just dealing with them and talking about them. So, yeah, weird.
Weird?
You're gonna I'm going to say weird. Okay. I mean, I'm a guy that has a torture stick from Game of Thrones in my apartment, so...
Stop bringing that up.
You keep bringing it up.
I'm interested to see it.
Smoke babies. God, that was fucked up.
That was so fucked up.
That was fucked
also,
up.
Ugh, I can't even. The whole scene, even the dude watching, I was like. Usually I would be like,
she's
oh.
like, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And you're kind of like, all right, I've already seen you, like, you know, fuck on, like, the map
the
table
risk,
or whatever. It's
table.
Like, all right, another one of these moments.
Well, to be fair, anytime anyone, even in the real world, has sex on top of a risk board, a
it
smoke
hurts.
Baby comes out. Yeah,
yeah, smoke baby. Well, that you're conceiving
you're
a
smoke baby.
Baby. No, that's the thing. When I watch Game of Thrones, it is kind of like why it's like a Lord of the Rings porn. It's like the Lord of the Rings porn. It's like you rent that thing, and then it's like suddenly it's like the most hardcore. You know, I feel like
and
my
it's
credit card being charged right now when I'm watching it. I'm kind of
like fine.
There's that lesbian scene in it, and it was like and like that Carchetti from The Wire is giving like really important information.
Yeah,
and so my wife walks in. I'm like, I have to hear this. I'm not watching porn. She's like, that girl's playing with that other girl's ass or whatever. And I'm like, yes, but he's giving a plot point.
Yeah. He was on The Wire.
I'm hearing this. I have to listen to this. I'm sorry.
Well, and even a couple weeks ago, there was the thing where they were killing all the kids in the kingdom.
Which is rough.
And which was fucked up. But they started the scene with like 3 minutes of like whorehouse politics with like naked women
walking around. Not even whorehouse politics. It's just two people fucking, and then they pull out, and there's a guy watching it, and he's getting blown, and then they pull out, and there's another guy who's like,
stop saying pull out.
And then all of a sudden, the dude comes in, and he's just like, he murders a baby, which was a real boner killer.
Why do you guys wait behind?
Scene when I thought I was totally out of the we were watching Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, we're out of the woodwork. Nothing totally fucked up has happened so far. And then we cut. The minute you cut to that the whorehouse and that redheaded whore, I go, something fucked up's about to happen.
Yeah.
The minute you cut there, you're like, you have to be in every fucked up scene in this show. And then it was the cum on the beard thing. Like the girl had a cum on her face, and Carchetti's like, And I go, why?
Yeah, honestly, though, there are four chapters in the book dedicated to that.
George R. R. Martin's like, she had
actually, on her face.
Watching the show,
half of the book is from the perspective of the cum on the face.
Yeah, I know. Great chapter. Huge character. In book four, the cum is huge.
That's
it gets much bigger.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
That was going to be the name of the fourth book, was Cum on Face.
Yeah.
Splooge in a beard.
Yeah.
Boy, I can't believe what happened to me.
King of Splooge.
Yeah.
What?
Game of
that Cubby. That happened to get George R. R. Martin probably. He's like, I have splooge in my beard.
I can't just let this go.
Yeah.
I gotta use this somehow, right, honey?
George, what inspires you? What inspires you to create these great
I was movies? Masturbating in my
Okay. Anytime I see him in an interview, I'm like, oh, you're a pervert, right?
Like the guy hooking up with his sister on the horse and, you know, all that shit.
Unnecessary also.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't relate to anything.
I'm never watching this show.
Yeah.
It's actually very good.
Don't ever watch it.
It's actually really good.
Is this the one where it's in an ad agency?
Yeah.
'60s?
No, this is the one with the fairy tale characters who are all in the real world.
No one watches that shit.
I don't watch Once Upon a Time. No, it's Smash.
No one
Smash.
Watches Once Upon a Time.
I watch it. I don't know.
Thanks for asking your question, by the way.
What's a cum beard? Was that the question?
Yeah.
I think we answered that. That's it for your audience questions. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some other...
All right.
Yeah, there's some music.
It's an active, very active
There's
section.
A guy back there like, oh, here's my time. Woo!
Yeah. Dear diary.
I was able to cue in the Week in Geek music flawlessly once again.
Punisher music.
I am a genius. Oh, joy is me.
We're going to talk about a couple of other geek culture topics with you guys. Now, first thing to talk about, I was pretty excited to hear this news towards the end of today. We're fans of Axe Cop here on the show, I think, or at least we're a fan of Axe Cop. Good news for fans of Axe Cop. It is going to be the first of Fox Television's animated programs that are going to play on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an animated Axe Cop that's hopefully going to play every week starting in the fall.
What time on Saturday?
11 to 12:30.
They're going down. Not really.
are you a fan of Axe Cop? Have you read Axe Cop at all?
It's written by a, by a six-year-old. A six-year-old tells his older brother, who's 29 now, but the, I have the ages wrong, because he started when he was six, and he, the older brother, writes it down, and then it's become this big webcomic sensation, and now a TV show.
So it's basically, it's hard to describe.
It's like if Prince Joffrey wrote a comic.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's basically about this cop who has
cut her head off, and
Well, he actually says his catchphrase is, "I'll chop your head." So you're pretty much correct.
There's something to this.
Yeah, but it's great webcomic. Very exciting to see it as a series. I actually chatted with Ethan Nicole, who's the older brother. That's the end of my story.
Short lunch with Ethan.
Well, what he said was...
Short lunch with Ethan, the older brother.
I was talking with a six-year-old.
So,
Steve was talking to the six-year-old who came up with it. Well, the brags get pretty low around the old comic book club show.
He was saying that they were definitely going to wait to do it on TV until they could get somebody who could actually get it right. He was very nervous about giving it over to other people because
the six-year-old was?
No, the 30-year-old. Because part of the process is it's really just unfiltered.
Talk to my agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really...
Who's the showrunner? Because I don't really want to give it away to any...
We're going to move on.
Well, no, let's talk about it a little bit more. It's a crazy... The animation block... I was helping you. The animation block, it's going to be Axe Cop, a couple other 15-minute shows, and then 31-minute, 1 to 3-minute long TV cartoon shows.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it should be kind of interesting, though, and it's exciting that they're using Axe Cop as the cornerstone for it. So I'm...
The anchor.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Let's move on.
Not a lot of people get your masonry terminology.
Another piece of news. This is a little bit of spoilers for an issue that's coming out tomorrow, but hey, USA Today already put it out there, and this episode is going to play for a while anyway, so let's put it out there. Battle Scars, number 6, tomorrow, coming from Marvel Comics. I don't know how much you can speak to this, but over the course of this series, there's a guy who named Marcus Johnson who's turned out to be Nick Fury's son. He lost his eye, and in the last issue, he'll be shaving his head and growing a goatee, so he kind of looks like Sam Jackson from the movies. The bigger news is his friend, who's nicknamed Cheese, it turns out to actually be named Agent Coulson. What? So Agent Coulson and the new Nick Fury are going to be in the main Marvel continuity.
He's coming into comics, yeah. We're bringing that movie continuity. The week of the Avengers, we're bringing that into the comics. So Coulson will be around. Nick Fury will look like the movie now, so people that come from the movie will have a little more ability to recognize the character.
No, when you do something like that, I mean, I understand the utility of it. Are you concerned at all about fan backlash being like, oh, come on, you're forcing
the fans
it.
Backlash when we publish any comic, so we can't really depend on...
Yeah!
Yeah, people are mad that we're publishing the books in the first place. All we can do is do it as good as possible.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I bought this! What the hell? There's a new one? Fuck you!
It used to be better.
What?
It used to be better.
What the hell?
They just walk in the comic book shop.
And it's not just the fans. The editors are the same way. I mean, we're very competitive about our comics. And any book coming out of another office, I'm sure that I could edit better than the people
do.
Holy shit. Nice, baller. I've been a huge fan of Cheese, and I really don't like his name being changed. So if there's any way that we can go back to calling him Cheese.
We're going to change it back.
Okay, good.
Keep reading.
Now you're revealing too much.
Money.
You're revealing too much, Mr. Wacker.
Cool. Next thing to talk about, there's been a lot of talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2 already, the movie, even though Amazing Spider-Man isn't out. Kurtzman and Orci, who wrote Star Trek and Star Trek 2, co-created Fringe, I think, as well, among other things, are going to be writing a draft of the second movie. What do you guys think about that? Is that a good choice, having not seen the first movie at all?
I think they're really going to capitalize on a lot of the early successes of the first Spider-Man and really...
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good choice.
Really pushing it forward.
I'm pissed off about it.
Yeah.
I feel old. I feel like that Tobey Maguire one just came out. I feel so old already. I was like, wait, another one?
Yeah, that's 10 years ago now.
It was 10 years ago.
What?
bullshit.
Can I tell you guys my crazy theory that's definitely not going to happen with Amazing Spider-Man?
Okay. Nah. Yeah. Not mind. What is
okay,
it?
Here's my crazy theory, right? So they go through the entire movie, and it turns out that Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is actually a clone, a flawed clone of Tobey Maguire. Yeah, Tobey Maguire shows up at the end. And Andrew Garfield turns out to be Scarlet Spider, not Amazing Spider-Man. Saga. Yeah, Clone Saga. I think that'll be fun.
That'll definitely open up the doors for all the regular humans out in the rest of the world to enjoy the film.
They would be like, what the fuck is that?
Fuck you.
I think we need you here every week to just do that.
Yeah. Fuck you. That's not right.
Last little thing we could talk about. This was news that came out of DC Comics. This has been rumored for a while. But in September, they're going to be adding in zero issues for all their comics, replacing the regular after the 12th issues. These are going to go back, show what happened before the first issues of the New 52, before they move on with issue 13. I don't know if you guys can hear the audience if you're listening or watching at home. They're super excited about this.
They're groaning.
So what's the point of doing that? What's the point of that?
They the same thing if they had announced they're just publishing the next issue. Everybody would groan.
I don't understand that. Why would you do that?
Exactly. It's hopefully after 12 issues to be new reader friendly, get people back who are like, oh, I don't want to read 12 issues, but I will read a zero issue.
Well, and also
I don't understand. To get you like excited to be like, whoa, how did that start?
Because number one issues sell like so much more than regular issues than a regular other number, and zero is very close to one.
Okay,
so it's sort of like the next best.
So what is the guy? Who are the guy? Batman's fighting the night.
Night of the Owls.
So it would be like the zero would be like owls like just hanging out,
hatching
eggs. It's like hanging out in his kid like in one of the kitchen thing. Man, maybe we should start some shit.
It's like backstage before actors do something. Yeah, they're always like, oh, that's
maybe
great.
We should like, yeah. I don't know, like, fuck with Batman. You want to fuck with Batman?
Who do you want to fuck with? Aquaman? He's an idiot.
I don't know. Let's fuck with Batman.
Yeah.
They did this trick before. They did it back in 94.
What happens after the zero issue? Will it go back to
13?
13?
No, negative one. Who knows? Who cares? Just a number. Just close your eyes and grab a comic.
I mean, to be fair.
What's the matter?
As he drinks a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
We're at the top of our games. Live our lives.
Justin, I feel like you're about 10 minutes away from dying.
You know, I'd want to do it here.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Is that an awe? That's weird.
I think it's more like, oh. No.
I'm curious. Do you think that the Zero Issue Initiative is any different than what Marvel is doing with Point One, or does it feel the same?
Yeah,
purpose?
I mean, Marvel, the Point One books are also jumping on points, but take place now.
Play cool.
And we're not doing it across the line.
And, people have always loved decimal points way much more than the numbers.
Absolutely.
Because that's how you tell.
I got Point Two.
Look at all the decimal points in the world.
Yeah.
Look at all the decimal numbers.
Oh, great point. There's so many. Money. All sorts of money has those.
Yeah.
But
I love money.
Yeah. See? You'll love these Marvel books.
It's a way to get
13.4.
It's a way to get people to try out your books. I don't think it's any different than anything that you do to try to get people to come on. So I'm probably a little less critical than you.
That's true about
touché, sir. Touché.
And that's it for the Week in Geek. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of gift card to Midtown Comics.
Big Q, though.
How this is going to work is we're going to pull an audience member up, ask you three questions. You get them right, $25. Who would like to volunteer? First hand up guy. Come on up.
Yeah.
Give a round of applause.
Scotty. Nice.
All right. Scott. There, take a microphone.
Hey, we're doing the show.
Hey, sweet Mortal Kombat shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, what's your name, sir?
Navin.
Navin, audience Navin.
Woo! Mortal Kombat.
All right. So
turn and face that crowd a little bit. Get out there. Show your body.
Oh, look at that. Showing it off.
Nice. Topical shirt.
So today's trivia is on the Mega Effect. Okay.
Perfect.
Here we go. Question number one. Thank you. Use the music. It's there for you. The Mega Effect is dealing with a mega blank falling into the wrong hands. Is it A, the Mega Drive, B, the Mega Laser, or C, the Mega
the Mega Toaster Strudel. So it's either A, the Mega Drive, which would be the correct answer, or it's B, the Omega Laser.
I'm going to have to go with A.
A is correct.
You are going to
the
have
Mega
to go with
Drive.
A.
Which crime organization is not on the Omega Drive? Is it A, Hydra, B, AIM, or C, Good Feathers? So it's either A, Hydra,
wow,
B, AIM, or C, which was the only one that would work.
I'll go with C.
C is correct, Good Feathers. Not on the Omega Drive.
Great parody.
Who wears the drive around his neck for safekeeping? Is it A, Daredevil, B, Spider-Man, or
music
C?
Music is killing me.
I love it.
You don't, like the, you don't like the flute stuff?
I love it.
Or is it C, Mr. T?
You know there's words to this song.
So it's either A, and if you guess A, you will win $25.
Oh, will he get it
right? I'll go with A.
A is correct.
He got it
$25. Free dollars.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, man.
Good job, sir.
That's great.
We recorded that music ourselves, Bill.
Yeah.
You guys played that. That's all you guys?
Yeah.
Yep. I played the
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Not everything's about Game of Thrones.
Most things are.
I played the flute when I was in elementary school.
Did you?
Big admission.
Wow.
When I was in fourth grade.
Fly barbecue. It's not.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is new comic book day. Pete, what are you looking forward
not good.
To?
I'm looking forward to Aquaman.
Why?
No, we... any of this.
Because it's great. That's why.
Nice. Really cool. Sold it to the crowd. But he's swimming around a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Fighting crime underwater. Come on, that doesn't get old.
Yep. Fish Police. You ever watch Fish Police? Great show.
My favorite.
Anybody over 30 who gets that? Okay, my pick is Secret Avengers. Great book. Lots of robots fighting Avengers, the secret ones. It's great.
You did do a much better job of selling it.
Well, we're ramping up.
Oh, good. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, we'll see.
I'm actually really looking forward to AVX Versus Number One is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is a spin-off of Avengers Versus X-Men, of course. The idea is Avengers Versus X-Men, little too plotty. So you have this other book, Versus, that takes fight scenes that happen in one panel and fleshes them out into entire half of a book. So each book is going to be two fights. Just purely the fights. So you get Iron Man versus Magneto.
I love when you say you're like fleshing them out. It's just going to be like punching.
Yeah, pretty much. But I got to tell you, that's what you tune into an event like Avengers versus X-Men for. So I'm actually really excited to read it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's good artists and
good writers.
I think
you're wrong. I've read the book. It's mostly long discussions over dinner. Yeah.
Now, that's what I'm interested in.
My dinner with Cyclops. Right.
It's called Versus because it's about hockey, right?
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's like who's going to – they fight over the check, like who's tipping more. Because Magneto is a terrible tipper.
Right. He keeps trying to put out coins, and they keep getting sucked back.
Oh, that is
No. No. We're fine. Everything's cool.
That Steve, what are you looking forward to?
The book I'm looking forward to, it's not a comic, but it's a book, is The Art of Amanda Connor.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite artist.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. She does everything from superhero art to good girl art. She can draw anything.
You know, when are you going to lure her over to Marvel to do some work?
She's done work. She did work for me on the Black Cat miniseries.
Oh.
Boom.
Boom.
Okay.
What do you say now?
Plug some of your stuff. What should people check out, Steve?
Daredevil 11, the last part of The Omega Effect is on sale.
All right, there we go.
Nice.
It's not on
just
there.
Just fucking pick
it's not on there.
Nothing's on there.
Gears of War 23.
Whenever the next Lock and Key comes out.
Yeah!
Should be in a couple weeks. It's almost over, Lock and Key.
Yeah.
I know. It's a bummer.
There's one more issue in this series and then another series.
Then one more arc,
right?
And I think that's it, yeah.
All right, there we go. And Bill, what should people check out from you? What's coming up?
What do I have coming out?
Yeah.
We have three more episodes of SNL start next week.
Nice.
And then that's it for the season. We have Mr. Eli Manning going to be hosting.
Nice.
And I'm in Men in Black 3. I play Andy
nice.
Warhol.
What do you play there?
I play Andy Warhol.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Great.
I get in a fight scene with Will Smith. It's awesome.
Who wins? Do you win?
Actually, if you watch the trailer, it's in the trailer.
Yeah. Art wins at the end.
Yeah, Art wins out in the end.
All right.
But yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have comedian Chris Gethard is going to be here. We've had him here before, so that should be pretty exciting. Also, if you are watching online, please subscribe, youtube.com/Nerdist. If you're listening at home, go to youtube.com/Nerdist and subscribe to the audio podcast and video stuff there. Pete, what else should people check out?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Justin.
Follow us on Twitter at comicbooklive.
Great. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, also on nerdist.com for the audio podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Steve for being on the show. Video, Midtown Comics, Pianos, Nerdist, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Pianos. Please tell your friends. Good night.